All right, so this is the Big E Cider Competition, Cider and Perry Competition, and we're down to the best of show. There are 5 gold medals out of this competition, 6 judges. So I'm going to be the narrator in the background, and we'll have the judges up front. This is episode 184, and you are listening to Cider Chat. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. This week, we are listening to a recording from a judging of Best in Show for Cider held at the Big E Cider and Perry Competition 2019. There's going to be more on that coming straight up, but first, a bit of news out and about in Ciderville. If you happen to be in London in July, specifically the 19th and 20th of July, well, I have a cider event for you that you might want to attend. In fact, if I was there, I would attend it, no doubt. It's the Streatham Cider Shack, and right now they have 11 producers on board. They're going to have Ross Cider. We know that Ross Cider, Ross on Y Cider. Oh my goodness. Love those folks. They're based in Herefordshire. Also, Oliver's, that's Tom Oliver. They're going to have lots of small batch producers too. They're going to be from all over Britain as well, which is pretty special. And they're likely to have at least 30 plus ciders and perries in total, with perhaps a few more producers to confirm as they get closer. Part of this event, what they're looking at is, and this letter came in from Colleen, she writes that we have been to many festivals where the focus has been primarily on medium and sweet. That's cider styles, with only a handful, if any, on dry ciders. So they want to change that. And to me, that's good news because I love myself a good dry cider. So that is why they set up, and I'm hoping I'm saying this correctly, I'm not sure, but a Streatham Cider Shack. There's going to be a link to this in the show notes for this here episode 184. And that's to showcase the many fantastic dry ciders and perries available. And this is especially true for perries, which we so rarely see in London, she writes. Ooh, that just gets me so stoked to hear that. The Streatham Cider Shack is located at the back of the Earl Ferrers Pub in Streatham, which is in South London. It's just 25 minutes on the train from the London Bridge or 20 minutes from Victoria. So that'll give you a sense of where it is. That's pretty doable. There's going to be a great spread of food available and beer provided by the pub. If it goes well, we may open the doors to the shack every once in a while when we have the time. Dang, that sounds good. So you could check that out. There's by just going on Twitter, follow along at Cider Shack SW16. That's a lot to remember. So again, I'm going to put this in the show notes, or maybe you could just Google Streatham Cider Shack, and Streatham is spelled Streatham, Streatham Cider Shack. Or just send a line to Colleen at Duck Chicken Cider. Check that out. Follow them on Twitter. She did a little, probably was Colleen, I don't know who. I mean, every cidery has person, I should say, wears many, many hats. And it was probably Colleen who put a tweet out a while ago, said, oh, I did a mistake, disregard that. And that's what led me to connect with her and say, look, I feel the pain when you make a mistake on the virtual world. Hang in there. When the event comes live, let me know and I'll share it on Cider Chat. So here we are now, getting pretty close to July 19th and 20th. Who knew? Go to the Streatham Cider Shack and drink some awesome dry ciders and perries. Damn, that's going to be a good event. Man, oh man, I wish I could get there for that one. Oh, just the thought of it, Colleen, is making me thirsty. Have an awesome time and looking forward to seeing some photos of that event once it swings out in July. Again, just follow them at Cider Shack @SW16 on Twitter and get the info today. I want to get to the main chat, but I want to bring some of you update who might have noticed that ciderchat.com had crashed. The website had crashed about a week or so ago, and I'm just able to start talking about it now because I was like in trauma mode. Oh my goodness, that was not easy to deal with. And part of that was because, and this might be something for you to think about whether you're a blogger or you're a cider maker. You know, you get into it, you say, oh, I need a domain name. Oh, I need a website. And then you like hire somebody, and that person, I have somebody like that that I know in Seattle who does a lot of my work for me. But if something happened to that individual, there'd be like no way for me to get into Cider Chat. So I went through this whole process of setting up my own web hosting scene now, because there's just so many audio files on this podcast, 184 shows. That's a lot of data. It's nearly crashing my computer weekly because of all the audio I have. I have to get all these external hard drives to move stuff off my tiny little laptop, which has 1 gigabyte of memory, no less. And I wanted to host my own site because I was kind of conservative. My dear virtual helper, technological helper, kind of disappeared. I would be really stuck. And that might be true with you if you have a website. I really recommend like getting all those passwords, all those things reined in so that you have control over it, which is what I did about a month ago. I've been promising myself to do this for like over a year. I took the leap. I went into that, finally upgraded Cider Chat to a new level. Have all the security stuff on now to be managing that because all those bots love to come in. And as such, it crashed. And that was tough, but I got through it, and that just happened. So I just want you to know that is what was happening there. And now we're moving forward, and I'm able to breathe a little bit. And hopefully it won't happen again. But if it does happen again, always know that there's a way to get a hold of me if the website, if you see something funky going on, like if you notice something, let me know. It could be on Twitter @CiderChat. You could message me. It could be via Instagram @CiderChat, @Ciderville. Then there's also a CiderChat Facebook page is a great way to connect with me if ever your email bounces back. Last week, I went live with the Normandy Cider Trail Tips. That was a collaboration I did with Annie Sargent of Join Us in France Travel Podcast. And Annie had wrote to me and said, Rhea, I sent you an email and it never came back. And she hunted me down, thank goodness. So we got that podcast live last week. And actually this Sunday, just a couple days ago, she went live with her own version of that recording. So you could check out her Join Us in France Travel Podcast anywhere you get your podcast. It's a good episode to listen to just to kind of see how she edited it versus how I edited it, how we kind of disagreed about Mont Saint-Michel. She says you should stay off Mont Saint-Michel when you go visit Normandy. And this year, the Normandy Cider Tour coming up this September is scheduled to stay on Mont Saint-Michel. And I don't care if it's going to be like a little walk up into a tiny little room to experience staying at a World UNESCO Heritage Site and feeling that energy of Mont Saint-Michel, watching that single wave that comes in and floods the entire Mont, or Mont Tome as it's known. And essentially separating you from the rest of the world, that is kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So anyways, we kind of didn't argue about it, but we had two different points of views on it. And yeah, so get a hold of me. Notice that if the podcast is down, there's a reason for it. And I would shortly probably be making an announcement. It's always good in Ciderville. We always keep it that way, don't we? When I come back, we're going to be going to the feature part of this here episode, which is judging best in show at the Big E Cider and Perry competition.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the street, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
The Big E Cider and Perry competition is now in its 7th year as of 2019. On June 8th, which was just a few days ago, I was once again at that competition as a judge. This is my second year being asked to return to that particular competition. Last year, they allowed me to record the Best in Show, and that's what I'm going to be bringing to you this week on this here episode 184, is the Best in Show judging, to do a number of different things. One, to kind of shine a light on what goes on during competition, and hopefully to kind of up my game in listening back, you know, what would I do differently? And to learn, what does it mean to be a cider judge? And what are some of the things that come up? You would think it's really clear cut, but it isn't. Because the palate, as much as it should be objective, it can be very subjective. So that's what we're going to be kind of delving in here. But first, let me tell you a little bit about the judges themselves. There were two different panels, a total of six judges, and one of the judges was Mark Griska. He organizes the Franklin County Cider Days Amateur Cider Competition, and that's been coming out also in its seventh year, and he's very involved in judging as a beer and cider judge for more than 15 years, and he is a ranked BJCP certified judge. We also have Michelle Pagano, who you might know as a blogger at theoutcast.com and on social media at The Brew Babe. I've gotten to know Michelle for a number of years now, meeting her at different competitions and cider events. She really has kind of floored me in terms of her use of social media in a positive way for shining a light on both her change of being very beer focused and then finding out about her gluten intolerance, which has really swung her over into the cider realm for sure. So it was a lot of fun seeing that Michelle was there. Then we had Ben Watson, and Ben is, like myself, on the Franklin County Cider Days Committee. He is also part of Chelsea Green Publishing and authored a book that should be in everybody's book stand called Cider, Heart and Sweet. It's in its third edition now. So Ben has been around the map for quite a while and has done a lot of judging. And then we also had Tim Post, who isn't really a cider judge. He's more of a wine judge. I think that might become evident as you listen to this chat. And then we still had Mike, who you might follow on social media. He does Cider of the Night. And so that was six judges. Now, the way this particular competition is set up, you do all the different categories, and then you take all the gold medal winners, and then they go into the final judging of the day, which is Best in Show. So only one cider gets picked as Best in Show. But I want to give you an idea, at least, on how I prefer to do a Best in Show at this level, or a, you know, best one, two, and three of the ciders. It doesn't really matter. You could use the same kind of scale. And that is, let's say you have five ciders in front of you, and you would have like a sheet of paper down too, and you number each one, one, two, three, four, five. You don't know who the maker is. You don't really know anything other than what they wrote about that particular cider. And what I like to do is to do a particular protocol that you have each judge go around one at a time, and the one judge will say, well, this is a cider that I would like to move off of the competition for now. It's already won a gold, remember. We're just going to, it doesn't qualify for Best in Show, and here are the reasons why. And we all get to talk about that one cider. Theoretically, that sounds really good if everybody's in agreement, but it can get a little skewed when not everybody is following the same protocol. And you're going to hear a little bit about that too in this particular judging. In fact, this particular competition, I learned a lot. And I'm going to save my dialogue for that until the end. My particular role was I was really just focused on recording it. And when I record, it's also difficult for me to kind of engage in the judging. But I did a little bit of both on this one. So we'll follow up on all that at the end of the recording. Let's now go to the Best in Show for either a cider or Perry at the Big E Cider and Perry Competition 2019. Right now they're passing it all out, and what we do here often for Best in Show is everybody gets every single cider, and they'll be going doing a round robin as the judges go around one at a time picking which cider they feel should either stay in the competition or move forward, and then everyone will talk about it as it moves forward, whether they are in agreement or disagreement. So right now the stewards are passing out the ciders, and then we'll move into the actual discussion. Are these mine here? The second? Okay, great. All right, so 345 is there. And we have 366, 347, and 333. And we go there and right here. Very good. Level is going to go up a bit to high. Okay. So what's going to happen right now is all the judges are going to be just tasting the ciders, and then they'll be making their notes, and we'll go through our selection. So I'm going to put this down and do my own tasting and note-taking, and we'll come back.
Why not?
All right, I'm coming over you. We're going over to Ben Watson, who some of you might know from Chelsea Green Publishing.
Cider and berry, does that get into a farm? Does that include the farm ciders that you would? Otherwise, correct.
What do you mean? Farm cider?
Is it a cider that's made with Brettanomyces yeast intentionally as opposed to...
Oh. I don't think there would be any... Is there any restriction on that in the category?
I think as long as it's still true style, right?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it isn't. Why are you tasting Brett?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. 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 Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh wait a second, what is it? Then I realized that I like that.
You say Brett like it's a bad thing, though.
No, it's very traditional.
Very traditional.
That's I think that's.
I think that my. My favorite was, and I apologize that I have to squint to look at this. 347 was the one that I think I liked the best.
Can we begin with the ones that you want to remove instead of saying what you want?
Yeah, let's
remove and then go down that list.
All right, so, that's fine.
So if you're gonna
last on my list was your English cider.
Yeah, that's 366. That's not last on my list, but it's second to last, so I would have
to do that.
So we have a little bit of disagreement between the judges. Michelle saying that was her second to last. Let's see what Mark's saying. Where are you, Mark?
Well, in terms of the two that are the ones that I would take off the table, and I would like to comment that all of these are excellent cider, so nobody should think that these are not
good.
Should
we be going down to talking about all of them or just one at a time? Because I think that's the most fair, is to talk about just one cider at a time instead of going to all of them. So how about if we just stay back with Ben's here? The one he's making the recommendation for the English style with the honey. And we have a couple just contrary things here. So what are the off flavors that you're finding? Because we have it.
I guess
that's not the one that we have.
And that is, what's the number on that one?
What is it?
366.
333. So the one he's actually drinking is 333.
Okay.
That's the
pairing. Oh, okay.
Okay, so is that the one that you're recommending?
That was one that I recommended removing, but that wasn't the last on my, that wasn't the fifth on my list.
Me too.
So we're looking at 333 right now?
Yes, it's 100% Bosque pear, I think. Is that the one? No, oh, it's the other one. It's the other. It's the half pear, half apple cider that we did. And I liked it, but I don't like it. I don't like it well enough to give it best in class or show.
Okay, so that's 333, the Bosque. Does anybody feel different about that to kind of move that one on? Okay, so we're going to move that one off of the best in show for now. So that brings us down to four ciders. So why don't we just kind of keep it in order here, and if you could kind of go next. And here we are from Cider of the Night. This is Mike.
Yeah, I removed 347. It was the 100% Bosch pear. I just felt like it lacked aroma, very light on the flavor. There just really wasn't a whole lot to it. So yeah, that's why I removed that one.
I disagree.
That was my
favorite. Okay, we got a little bit.
I agree with his ex absolutely word for word. That's exactly what I wrote. Lacks aroma, lacks flavor.
Lacks aroma, lacks flavor. What about you, Michelle?
I actually get some robust melon aroma with it. I don't see anything significantly flawed with it. Obviously, it's a gold. I was in between that one and another one, so I can go either way. But this is definitely, I think, should be like the top three. Don't think it should be removed yet.
All right. How about the other judges? What do we have with the other judges for this particular one? What do you think there, Ben? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I agree with Michelle that it was one of my top two that I had on there. And I think it was one of the two best that we judged.
Okay. Mark, are you in?
I agree 100% with Ben. That was one of my two favorites. And I think there's a lot going on in there, in this particular cider.
I do too.
Perry.
It's not thin. Like Perry can sometimes be, like a modern Perry can sometimes be kind of thin and watery and uninteresting, and I didn't find it at all uninteresting.
It's an off aroma to me. That's very offsetting.
So, and let's just talk about what is that? What is that flavor profile kind of speaking to you? How would you describe it besides the chemical terminology?
It's chemically oxidized. It's kind of a chemically medicinal almost quality. It's just, and how it comes, other than that, it comes across as a very severe chemical, not fruit.
See, I get that for that 366 one. The English cider with that 100, but that one,
well,
I feel
let's
like
just
that
say,
one
let's
has.
Just stay on one, though. Let's just stay on one, just to see.
Yeah, I don't pick up any of that.
Okay. So we're at a little bit of a stalemate here right now. So
I'll just show hands who wants to keep that on the table.
So we have a judge. We have five. It's almost like the Supreme Court here. But we have three judges who want to keep it, and two who want to take it off.
So let's find our next least favorite.
Okay.
All right, we're going to move on with it. We'll just kind of table that one right now, 33, and we're going to move on to Michelle.
Right. So there were two of them that I would vote off. I could go with that one. That one over.
What's the number?
3485. That one is the hopped cider. I'm sad to admit, because I do enjoy hopped ciders, but I feel like that cider is not true to the Citra hops. I feel like there's more of like a lemon, Lysol, lemongrass, but in a negative way. Not to insult whoever made this, but I feel like it's not true to the hopped. But the aroma was great, and it was perfectly balanced. I just felt like it tasted like Lysol.
Like Lysol?
Yeah, I don't know how else, like a cleaning product to me, which is unfortunate. Yeah, I can't see that moving up.
Okay. Anybody else have any other thoughts on that particular cider? And
that's
the,
my favorite of the whole bunch.
Top two.
So we have some, this is kind of interesting point, because we have
very,
some like...
very specific to Citra hops, personally. No. Exactly what you should be getting. Well...
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not to say they're not familiar. I work extensively with Citra hops from a beer background, cider background. I make it. I drink it. I only drink hop cider, and I would not drink that if that was in the stores.
Okay.
Because of that, it's so offensive.
Any other judges on thoughts with the hops? How many folks want to move the hop cider on?
It was third on my list.
To move it on?
Well, it was third on my
moving
preference,
him on or moving
preference list. So I yeah, I mean, I like the two that I picked, obviously, but I understand. I didn't dislike this one. I wasn't as violently opposed to it as, mm-hmm. you know, on the hop basis. So, yeah, if we get rid of the other pairing, I would keep this one among the top two.
Okay, so we're having a little bit of difficulty moving our ciders off. And, you know, that's not a bad thing for the cider because that means we don't want to really let go of anything. You know, we find one person's, you know, palate is going one way and one's going the other. A vote for the hops. How many people want to keep the hops on? And so we have 2 to 3.
There's maybe another one that I would throw out before I throw out the hop.
Correct.
But I realize...
Okay.
Let me make a proposal then.
Okay.
I don't know how you guys feel about this cider, but there's one that is, it's a Perry, and it's got maple syrup in it, and I really like it.
Cider.
But it's very subtle.
It's
very subtle. In other words, you don't.
So
you get a lot. You got a lot.
I feel like that's one of my top two.
I got okay. Then we'll leave that one. Let's talk about the one with honey.
That one, I would easily take that one off and keep the hop one.
So, do we have a vote on the honey cider? Or the cider with honey, I should say.
I would vote that out.
That was my top two.
Aww.
Okay.
That was my least out of my top three.
Well, now that we have, you know, five ciders to choose from, or four, what are we ready to move the honey forward?
Yeah, we're going to vote the honey out. Is anyone opposed to that?
It's either that or the
hop. Agreed. It's either that or the hops for me to vote out. But Tim enjoyed that one the most, so we should probably keep that in.
Okay, so we have one cider that we move forward, and I remember being in the Cider Days competition. We spent about 45 minutes talking about the best of show and went from one swing to the other, and that's in tribute to the makers who did this. I think it's worth taking time. I also think that if there's a reason why you want to move it off, if you could be as specific as possible, what is off? So if you're talking about Citra, what are those flavor profiles versus saying, you know, I know that's not Citra. What is it about it that's not Citra? Or if we're looking at the honey one, what is it about that that's not meeting the level for best in show? These are all been awarded gold right now.
Can I make a suggestion about the hop side?
Please do.
I would say that in terms of when you're choosing best in show, we're not judging best in class, we're judging best in show. So we're judging all these different ciders against one another that are all quite different. The question is, do you want to choose a hopped cider where the primary flavor is hops? As the hopped cider, I don't think reflects best in show because it's featuring the hops more than the cider. You know what I mean? It's a perfectly decent cider, but it's...
It's a question of whether... You're bringing the question of when there's an adjunct in a cider, does that make it a best-in-show-worthy cider?
Well, yeah. I mean, we had a good-tasting cider that had red wine in it, too, and it scored very high silver. And I wouldn't choose it for best-in-show because I don't think that that's fair to the stuff where you can actually... taste more of the underlying apple character. That would be my argument for eliminating the hop cider. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's bad. I mean, none of these are bad, but
right.
But I'm just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm. This comes to like a much broader worldwide discussion of what is cider. Kind of opening up a little bit of a hornet's nest there.
Well, it's like, you know, picking a rabbit as the best in show for the Westminster Dog Show. You know,
but
I mean, it's
all
you
of these
can do
that we
it.
Have left, all of these that we have left have adjuncts.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Nope.
There's not 100% apple.
Nope, that's
which
not
one?
True.
Which
you,
one?
The one you wanted to get rid of, the apple and pear, the Perry.
Okay.
That has fruit. I mean, okay. It has 100% fruit. I'm not saying that they have to have 100% fruit. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that it doesn't have to, I'm not saying get rid of everything with an adjunct. What I'm saying is that if you have an adjunct, I mean, we had to go through a lot of the unlimited ciders and all that stuff. And, you know, one of the criteria that I use when I'm judging it is, can you taste the underlying cider anywhere in there?
Right.
Or is it all the stuff that they're putting in on top of it?
Right.
And that's what I mean. I think, you know, again, I'm not trying to be unfair to this because I think it's a decent cider.
I think, you know, to touch on Ben's point, if the cider or Perry, if it could still come through, then I think it's worthy to award it Best of Show. Like, I had chosen, not to jump around, one that I enjoyed had maple syrup in it. And I thought that it enhanced the cider. It wasn't overpowering. I thought that the apple still came through. It was still robust and strong and added more character to it. So that was one of my top two.
How about if we just put four names in a hat? Because really, I mean, that's what it comes down to. It really does. You know, these are all fine, and I have no problem with any of them, and I don't think we're going to agree on what we want to do, and you might as well just, you know, do it randomly at this point.
But I do enjoy the conversation. I mean, we could put a name in the hat, but I'd rather learn a little bit and just talk about how that, you know, changed and developed, and that's why I think that we set up like this versus just a name in the hat, because we're having some really good conversation here that kind of opens up a lot of different doors.
So what would be the fourth one that we would knock off and would not go through? I had put in 366.
I mean, it's a common cider, but it's adding honey to a common cider. Doesn't that make it either a New England style cider or a mead or
even,
some subspecies of mead
specialty?
But
there was nothing
specialty
to really put that in the category.
Well, specialty.
To do that.
I would put it under specialty.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe on that premise,
fine.
Then
I mean,
that's a
good
reason to kind
cider,
of move it forward. Or off, and I say up forward and off the table. Can we have a vote on that? Is
that's
that
fine.
Sound?
I'm okay with that.
For everybody. Tim, are you in agreement?
Not really, but
still likes it.
Because one of the ones they want to use has a fault to me, so I would not support that one.
Which one? The Perry?
347.
347. It's faulted. Has acetaldehyde. Strong link to my sense, anyway.
Okay. Well, let's get rid of the Perry.
Okay. So first of all, we're going to go. We're moving with the 366 was the honey. So that's off. So now we're down to three ciders.
I'm not tasting a serious fault in that, but you know,
it's not overwhelming. But yeah, it's.
I'm okay with getting rid of it.
I just think that's part of the character.
Yeah.
Which number are we on again there?
That's 347.
347.
I like that.
Yeah, so we have 351, 347, and 345.
Specialty cider and Perry with the Vermont maple syrup is still on. That's 351.
Yeah. I think it's made very well.
Yes, it is.
You agree with me, Mike?
Mm-hmm. That was my top two.
Me too. My top two.
And then the other one is 333, and that is...
It's 351, 347, 345.
Yeah, it's the hop cider still.
Yeah, the hop cider still.
This one?
Okay.
See, and I get the same thing from 351 that you're getting from 345. I don't get any apple, and I get a fake maple syrup flavor.
We had quite a few that had Vermont maple syrup, and we chose this one as a gold because of the opposite. Actually, we thought that it was authentic. It wasn't like an extract or anything like that.
Okay. Can I tell you what I smell and taste?
Okay. Taking the word of the maker, it says Vermont maple syrup as a trademark name. They'd get in trouble putting in anything otherwise, so we have to have good faith there.
Yeah, I was honest about the hops. You're honest about the maple syrup. It's all about discussion.
I'm kind of out of this link, but I would like to put in my wild card. I'd like to move the hops off the table here, primarily because
puts it down in third.
Puts it in third. I think they have a cider that presented itself well, but the apple is just not as prominent as I'd like to be at this level.
I think that's what I was trying to say.
I think we already have three votes to move it off the table. So,
oh, Tim, that makes sense.
That would put it at number three.
You don't, you're right. You don't get as much apple through it. It's
no.
It's all hop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just focusing on the hops. Of my expectation of the use of Citra. It's my favorite hop to use.
Mm-hmm. So now there's two ciders on the table, 347 and 351.
Correct.
Is that correct?
So one of them is the maple syrup one, and the other one is 100% Perry.
351 is the maple, and the other one is the Perry.
This is a tough one.
Well, I would say that Perry really has a really nice pear nose. You're getting a different base there, but we know that you're
trying to find it
on that.
I'm trying to find it.
I also got,
to be honest with you.
When I first smelled this, I got the, as Tim mentioned, the sort of barnyard, the you know, Britannomyces, all that, which is that was the 347.
I don't think it's that.
But that's dissipated now.
Yeah, I don't think it's barnyard that he's getting.
No, well, I still get acetaldehyde. It's a chemical solvent. It's very pronounced. I would not drink that. I find it offensive.
But you know, that's a little bit what happens to people with Perry, is that it's kind of like a little misunderstood fruit in that way. And I'm not really getting that, what you're talking about. What I do is I get a nice pear on the nose. I get a little bit of that spiciness coming through.
Yeah.
It's light and delicate. It's not it's not cloyingly sweet. It's balanced.
I think the thing about that I liked was in the modern Perry is that it's, you know, it's difficult to make decent Perry out of 100% culinary
pear. That's
pears.
A Bosque pear.
It's a Bosque pear, yeah.
I mean, put that into like.
And so the fact that they could make a thing that tastes as decent as it does without resorting to, you know, bittersweet pears or bitter sharp pears, I think is and make something that's still pretty drinkable to me anyway. I think is more impressive to me than some of the other stuff that we've got with the adjuncts.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I'm actually I'm on a journey to try as many pears as possible because I do not enjoy them. Which is why it's shocking that I do enjoy this one, and I think it has to do with how well it was made. I mean, you're convincing someone who doesn't enjoy Perry's it's in my top two. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that, right? That you can be a complete game changer.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that, you know, when push comes to shove, we could just go to show of hands. Who likes 347 for best in class? This is like, you know, I realize there's strong opinions here.
Well, out of the two.
Out of the two, I mean, I think the maple one is very tasty and nice to drink. But if I had to choose between the two, I think that it's more, the Perry is more impressive than the maple one. Again, I'm not anti-adjunct, but I just I'm trying to find a way to pick one, and that's my criteria, whether it's correct or not. It is what it is. I think it's more representative of the competition as a whole to do something that's made with 100% fruit that is well made. But I think of the two that we've got in front of us, I would prefer the Perry as the best in track.
Concur.
I would say the maple.
You're still going with the maple.
Maple, yeah. I still I do get the taste is okay, but I still on the nose I get a chemical. I get chemically burned almost to my nose.
Of which the Perry?
Yeah, the Perry.
What I find with the maple is the maple's presented itself more forward than the actual palm in there.
Right.
It's that's kind of what's driving that one. So I would recommend the maple for second and the Perry for first. And then the third would be
the hop.
That was like Belichick calling a timeout just to like regroup everybody and like, you know, stopping, talking about something else. And
okay, so we got through that competition and the Best in Show was awarded to a 100% Basque pear. Some countries would not call that a Perry because that is not a Perry pear. In the U.S., they do call it a Perry. 100% Basque pear, no adjuncts included. It was a delightful cider. All the ciders were fantastic, and a big tip of the glass to all the makers who took the time to enter their ciders to package it, to send it off to the Big E. And I think in the end, you know, all the haranguing that was going on during that deliberation there, in the end, it was kind of all moving towards a pair. But I do want to go over a number of different things that came up during this competition that really informed me as I'm moving forward as a cider judge and just recording cider competitions. And this, I'll tell you, Ciderville, this is the reason exactly why I want to record a cider competition, so that we bring light to what's going on out in Ciderville around the world. The first piece is protocol. What is a protocol for judging Best in Show? And protocol meaning, how are you going to do this? Are we just going to go catch can and just start saying, what is our favorite cider? And that's, if you listen to this conversation, you notice that there was a tendency to want to just start talking about one's favorite versus process of an elimination. And I'm more of, let's do the elimination one at a time, saying why this cider should be taken off, and then narrowing it down to one cider. Because when you just go in for like, my favorite cider is, now you're going to end up talking about all five ciders. So by eliminating one at a time, there's more order to the process. And in this case, I need a lot of order to just keep my chart, you know, straight away on a clear path. So number one is decide on your protocol and stick to it. And even though I had set that up in the beginning, it still got you know, mixed up. So sometimes even the best laid plans don't work out. So protocol is one. Number two, as a cider judge, it's not what one likes. That has nothing to do. I'm okay with hop ciders. They're not my favorite cider to go to. I'm okay with sweet ciders. They're not my favorite cider to go to, but that doesn't really matter when I'm judging a cider. All that matters is it well made? It's not whether or not I like it. And so when I hear that that comment that I wouldn't drink that cider, that to me is misplaced during a competition. It's not whether or not one would drink it. That's just extraneous information there. And it's not about whether the judge likes it. It's more about whether it was a well-made cider. And that really has to go at the forefront. And that could get things very sticky, which leads me to number three point here, is watch out for your ego. You could hear a little bit of the, frankly, the pissiness that was going on there during this competition between different parties. Certainly the discussion over the adjunct, does have adjuncts or is not. And tone during a competition, I mean, people could get heated. And maybe that's kind of the world we're at. Maybe I should have just gone for broke too. But I really want to call out professionalism for cider judges. If we don't create that certain bar, we're not going to get it. And this is such an opportunity to really elevate the craft, elevate the level of cider that I think a lot of folks listening, you listening to this right now, are hoping for. So really beware of the ego. Dang, I mean, I have a lot to say about that. As an Aikido sensei, a martial arts instructor, a sensei, it's all about the ego. And I always tell parents who ask me, you know, Rhea, you know, what's a good martial arts dojo to go into for my kid? And I say, you know, if you walk into that dojo and people don't welcome you and smile you and make you feel safe, walk out.
Well, I would say the same thing is true about cider. If you walk into a cidery and you don't feel welcome, there's not a smiling face, and people aren't treating you professionally, walk out. That's my bar. And so be it. I'm going to just leave it like that. I'm going to go down a slippery slope here, I think. But ego is a big one. Be careful for that. It's not about what you like. It's not about you. It's all about the cider. And then the fourth piece is, what can be best in show? And Ben brought up this point, and I know he was trying to articulate it. It's kind of a big, wide discussion. But I would say, what I wish I said during the competition was, if hop cider or specialty cider, you know, spice cider, fruit cider, if those are part of the competition, then those ciders need to have equal access to being best in show. Otherwise, they shouldn't be part of the competition. Now, if you have a competition that's only going to be 100% no adjuncts, 100% apple or pear, then that's a different story. But if the competition is inclusive of all the different cider styles that are out there in the world right now, as this competition is, then any of those ciders that medaled at the gold level have to be put in the running for best in show, without a doubt. And as you heard me say, we're kind of opening up a hornet's nest here. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. This is where it is right now. And that could feel like, oh, crap, this feels like a really not great place to be. But the other flip side of it is, you know what? We're getting to create the story right now, writing that roadmap right now. And there's very few times in history on any type of niche group, and cider is definitely a niche group, where you are provided the opportunity to create the history for tomorrow. Thank you to Annie from Virginia and Charlotte from the UK, who just became patrons of Cider Chat via the Cider Chat Patreon page. And a big tip of the glass to Anders, who just increased his pledge to Cider Chat. You might not realize it, but 2 years ago, Cider Chat was receiving more donations for this podcast than it is now. So I'm not sure really what's going on, because the amount of listeners 2 years ago was a lot less than it is now. So there's like a flip city in that one that's not making sense to me. And I do want to say that the podcast could really use your support. Just even getting it up to where it was like 2 years ago, that would make a huge difference. So please do think about supporting the podcast and becoming a patron by going to the Cider Chat Patreon page. And I also want to send out a request, the Normandy Cider Tour. I really need people to sign up for that tour. We're getting down to the wire here now. And if you've been putting off signing up for France, please sign up now. Don't put that off until August. I have a big decision on this tour to make coming up shortly. Absolutely epic tour. For the money, really, you can't find anything better. You go on any other kind of tour offering around the world, you're just not going to find anything better. I mean, one, we get to hang out, you and I. That's pretty awesome. It's a nice slow pace. The makers are just amazing, like fantastic makers. And we're not just doing cider, we're doing Perry. And if that competition just told you anything, Perry just won in a cider competition yet again. That happened last fall. Perry won during the Amateur Cider Days competition, and now just recently at the Big E. So you want to start learning about Perry, and one of the best places to do that is to go to Europe, where they really have Perry pairs, and fine-tune your palate. So that could be incentive while you're also hanging out in the orchards and experiencing one of the most renowned regions in the world for cider. The Totally Cider Tour to Normandy, France goes the last week of September of 2019. That's the 22nd to the 28th. All the info is at the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com. This is Rhea Windcaller, signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider. Dancing in the street, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider, we like palms, we like orchards, having some fun. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking out of the orchard, dancing in the street, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like palms.
Yeehaw!